I don't know how many of you remember a television series called The X-Files. One of the slogans they used to use in that was, fight the future. And sometimes seems that when you look at churches and other organizations as they look to the future, that seems to be their motto. In other words, they're less prepared to contemplate the future and deal with it, but to fight it or to pretend that it is not there. The futurology is a very difficult subject. You know, I know nothing of the future because I have not lived there, but I do know that there are many bad examples of futurology. It was Mark Twain, the great American writer, who in 1910 forecast that by the end of the century, that by the year 2000, there would be two great religions in the world, Roman Catholicism and Christian Science. Back in the 1960s and 70s, when people looked at Europe, there was a saying that they used to use, which is, the optimists among us are learning Russian, the pessimists are learning Chinese. And in the real world, as it occurred, of course, both optimists and pessimists speak English. I can tell you nothing of the future, but I can tell you something of the present, and I can tell you something of the trends that are assuredly going to happen and that will shape the future in a much, much more reliable way than Mark Twain ever did. And I'm going to be speaking a lot about demography. I'm going to be speaking about the ways in which families are shaped, and particularly the number of children in a community, in a society, and what that means for religion. Because I'm going to suggest to you that if you look at a society and look at the number of children, you can learn a huge amount about the way in which religious organizations work. You know, it was interesting. Yesterday, for instance, many of us heard a talk by Jeff Fountain, and he was talking about the original founding vision of the European community back in 1950. And there was a quote there from Robert Schuman. Robert Schuman had this great idealistic vision of Europe. And one of the goals of that great new Europe would be, quote, to develop the African continent. This was one of Europe's historic missions. And I look at that in terms of demography and demographic change. Here's a figure for you that you might like to look at. In 1900, there were three Europeans for every African. By 2050, there will be three Africans for every European. And we can talk about this at great length, but one thing that has happened and will happen is that the geographical capital of Christianity and of any denomination has decisively moved in our time and will continue to move from Europe to Africa. There is no doubt that by 2050, by far the largest contingent of Christians in the world will be in Africa. Somewhere about 2030, Africa will have more Catholics than Europe, for example. Demography matters. Let me say a little bit about what is happening specifically in Europe. And there is a number that I want you to remember, and that is 2.1. It's a very simple number to remember. And what that is this. When people study society, they look at what's called a fertility rate, the average number of children born to a woman during her lifetime. If that number is about 2.1, then you will have a stable population, neither growing nor shrinking. If it is much above 2.1, then you will have a growing population and a young population. If it is below 2.1, then you will have a shrinking and aging population. So what is the most important thing you have learned today? It is 2.1. Thank you. Oh. Societies move over time from having high birth rates, high fertility rates, to low fertility rates. It's called the demographic transition. It is, in its origins, a European historical experiment, this demographic transition. Around Europe, over the last few years, we have some of not just very low fertility rates, but the lowest ever recorded. In countries like Spain and Italy, the fertility rate is around 1.3. In Hungary, where we are presently, it is 1.4. There are areas of Germany where it is 0.8, something that demographers have never seen in human history, and they are watching this with great interest. There are a couple of countries where it is around 2.0, but normally it is way below fertility. Why does this matter? It is only when you look at a society without children, or with very few children, that you realize just how critically important children are and have been for the making of religion. If you think of a society with high fertility rates, with a large number of children, think about that society. Think of a society where a typical woman has 5 children, for example. First of all, that woman is likely to be focused on the household. Family values are likely to dominate. It is also likely to be a society where people define themselves in terms of their family traditions, their community traditions, and where an individual is conscious of being part of a succession, where it becomes easy to draw values from the past, to pass them on to the future. It is easier to sustain, maintain, and develop family traditions. In a community like that, to break away from a traditional religion also means breaking away from many other things. Also, practically, think how traditional religion serves families. What traditional religion does is oriented to families, to First Communion classes and events in the Roman Catholic tradition, for example. Also, think of that society being associated with more traditional kinds of economic work, where people work in large communities, large factories, large economic enterprises. What I'm describing, of course, is the Europe, perhaps, that existed up until the 1950s and 1960s. Then take children out of the picture. Two things happen. First of all, people have a smaller religious impulse that leads them to focus entirely on family and children. Then there are fewer children, and increasingly the bonds that link that individual, that couple, which is what we're talking about, to society, to traditional religion, decline very sharply. That has many impacts. People see themselves as what you might call the end of the chain. If you do not have children, do not have grandchildren, what values are you trying to pass on? What should be obvious at this point is that any religious enterprise has to be focused on people living in an individualistic, decentralized, and atomized society. You cannot appeal to these community family values. That situation also poses many issues for any church, any religious organization, because you are dealing with a society that is likely to have much more gender equality, where women are likely to be in the workplace, to seek higher education, usually at higher rates than men. And at that point, any attempt by churches to represent themselves as representing traditional values will be deeply troubled if those traditional values are associated with an inferior place for women. That is especially a problem, of course, for the Roman Catholic Church or any other church that will not ordain women. And so across the board, secularism tends to be associated with low fertility, with shrinking families. And you see this in many places. You look at census records, for example, census evidence, and you look at the proportion of people living on their own, the proportion of not just single family households, but single person households. Most of a church's traditional means of reaching people cease to function. Well, we will reach people at their workplace, at their factories, at their schools. They don't go to factories. They don't have children in schools. They are decentralized individuals who are used to totally different assumptions across the board. So, point one, that demography, that demographic situation has to, I think, underline any vision of the future. It might be that in 100 years' time, society will have moved to a much smaller population with a much more what we would consider normal distribution of ages. But I'm not concerned with what is happening in 100 years' time. Most of you will not. A few of you may be partying like it's 2099, but others of us will not. What will be happening in 20 or 30 years? In 20 or 30 years, Europe will be a place of many old and largely, in many cases, alone people. And that is a destination, a target audience for churches. Also, we, of course, live in, if you live in Europe, which I do not, you live in a society where people tend to retire earlier, be cut off from the workplace earlier, and will live longer. They will live 30 or 40 years outside the workplace. Those are social revolutions that do shape the future. They also, of course, shape the ethnic and religious balance of a society. Once again, in Hungary, the median age of the population in Hungary is now over 40. In many European countries within a decade, the median age will be pushing 50. In a country like Uganda, the median age of the population is 14. That says all you need to know about the demographic relationship of the two. A society of people in their 40s and 50s who are looking forward to retirement very quickly is not a society that can function, unless, of course, it brings in immigrants. Very fortunately, there are many countries around the world that are happy to supply those immigrants. And what that means is that Europe will become, of course, has become, a much, much more diverse society. And people may look at this in terms of the growth of Muslim populations in Europe, but of course it's more complex. You also have very substantial Christian populations. Now, a couple of things that might be helpful here. You know, I mentioned this demographic transition, which is what happens when the fertility rate falls below 2.1. Here is something which perhaps may be a surprise to you. That demographic transition is now happening across the Muslim world. In fact, let me tell you, there is one country in the world which has set a record for the sharpest decline in fertility ever recorded. In 1986, a typical woman in this country had six children, and now that number is 1.6. What is this country? Iran. The other countries that are falling equally steeply are Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, and Muslim populations in Europe. There is a famous phrase that demographers like to use, which is the closer a woman lives to Rome, the fewer children she has. This is true. This is also true across the Mediterranean. The closer a Muslim woman lives to Rome, the fewer children she has. If you look at the lowest fertility rates in Europe, they are found in among Muslim populations in countries like Bosnia. Why does this matter? It matters partly because so many of the concerns about Europe being swamped by Muslims are based on very out-of-date figures. Europe will certainly have more Muslims who represent many issues, many challenges for churches, for Christians, but we are dealing with the growth of a more diverse, a polyglot society, a multi-religious society, but keep many of the nightmares away from your vision. I'm talking about a future not of nightmares. Oh, here's an interesting question for you. If Europe needs immigrants, and the traditional suppliers, like Turkey, are running out of people to send, where does Europe find its migrants? And one solution is it has to dig deeper and deeper into Christian Africa, which is the last part of the world which has not experienced a demographic transition. The population of Uganda continues to double very reliably every 25 years, for example. So what I'm suggesting is that if you look around you, yesterday when I gave my talk, I suggested that the words you needed were look around you. Think of what a European city would have looked like 40 and 50 years ago with the great range of children, with the schools opening, with the church schools opening. Then take those children off the map. And think of what that means for the concept of religion, continuity, roots, a subject that we raised yesterday. Think of what that means in terms of the people, the audiences to whom a church must speak, and what those people are prepared to hear. Because many of the traditional messages no longer apply. And as I said, in 100 years, things may change. In the next 20 or 30 years, think of more of an isolated society, a lonely society, a society very divided between older, white, and old stock people and younger people of immigrant stock. That demographic profile, which is one which in some ways is much more familiar in the United States than in Europe, is going to be the basic reality. And we kind of, you like, project this onto a world scale. I began with that story about the optimists learning Russian, pessimists learning Chinese. Actually, there would seem to be very little reason to learn the languages of two sharply declining countries. Because in demographic terms, China is due for 20 very flourishing years, followed by, what's that handy word? Oh yes, doom. There is one country in the world, there is one industrial country in the world which has a fertility rate which is sustainable through the 21st century, and that is the United States. So we can look at the dimensions of this in any different ways. We can look at the enormous potential for the growth of an African Christianity, for example, on European soil. We can look for the continuing impact of American models around the world. But in terms of the European society, which you have to deal with, please remember, what is my message? What do I have to say? 2.1. Thank you.